And so just a bit of review of where we've been at. This isn't going to continue on it, by the way. But last week we wrapped up our Christmas mini-series by taking a look at Mary and Joseph and seeing that though they have a special place in God's plan and a special place in history, they were just ordinary people like you and me that followed God feebly, and their story invalidates our excuses. And I don't know, maybe that's a mean way to put it, but we do. We're good at coming up with excuses, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And God can take all the things that we see as weaknesses and do great things in spite of them. And so we saw that God used them in spite of their inability or their inexperience. They were young. They were unmarried. They had all kinds of things they could have brought up, but none of those were too big for God to overcome. Yeah. And we saw their poor performance. We find that the last place that they expected to give birth to the Savior was in a barn, but there's where they found themselves. And they were probably thinking, look at how bad of a job we're doing, right? And then we saw at age 12 that they left Jesus behind in Jerusalem, went more than a day's journey, and forgot him behind, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were probably feeling that they were knocking it out of the park at that point, right? And I don't know, maybe Mary got to heaven one day and she got onto the disciples for recording that and said, I can't believe that you put in that we left him in Jerusalem and now they're still preaching about it. But anyway, then in spite of their circumstances, often things don't go the way that we expect for them to. And we look at the things that are going on in our lives and it just doesn't seem like God's there, or that he's doing anything, or that what we're facing doesn't seem to be lining up with what we think serving God looks like, right? And then the last thing that we saw is that God used them because of their dependence. That was the secret to it all. It wasn't because of how great they were doing, of all of the abilities that they had, or that everything was lining up just right. It was the fact that from the beginning to the end, they just trusted God to do a work in their life, and they just followed him, as I said, feebly. And that's all we can do as well. So today we are at the end of this year and just getting ready to jump into a new year. And I believe the years seem to come and go quicker and quicker all the time. Mm-hmm. Or is that just me aging? I don't know. Well, even my girls have said, oh, the time's passing so much faster now. And so I don't know what it is, but they do seem to come and go so quickly anymore. But in this season, it's a common thing to reminisce about the past year and to look forward into the next year. And it's common for people to make goals and New Year's resolutions. Maybe you already set out the how many pounds you want to lose. Well, it wouldn't be pounds here, would it?
No, kilos.
How many kilos you want to lose? Sorry, I reverted back to the States again. But maybe you've got different things that you're wanting to put in place. Maybe you're going to read more. Maybe you're going to watch less television, spend less time on your phone. You make all kinds of different plans and goals for the coming year, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that in mind, we're going to look at a time in Israel's history when they were caught between what was and what could be. Okay. First, however, I want to kind of lay out the context for anyone who's not familiar, because I do know that we're kind of in a part of the Bible that people don't read as often. It's probably not preached from as often. So I want to kind of lay the groundwork here. We know that God called one man, Abraham, who became a great nation. And that nation was meant to know him and to make him known into this world. He would bless them and they would take God for granted and they would abandon him. He would allow difficulties to come their way and then they would once again return to him. And we find that a lot of people function like that. They don't look to God. They don't follow God until things get difficult.
Right.
And so whenever things are going good, things are easy, they don't need God. And then when things start falling apart, then they come to him. Maybe you've even been guilty of doing that from time to time. But anyway, things got so bad that God allowed them to be carried away into captivity. But after 70 years in Babylon, the king issued a decree because God said it would happen. God made it happen. But anyway, the king issued a decree to release them, and not just release them, but he also instructed them to rebuild the temple, to reinstitute worship to God. And he gave them the supplies that were necessary to do so. And that's where we find them this morning, just at the beginning of this process of rebuilding the temple there in Jerusalem. So we're going to be in Ezra chapter number 3, and we're going to read just a few verses here, starting in verse number 8. It says, "Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Jeshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel his sons, and the sons of Judah together, to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and the Levites and the chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Lord, we come to you once again today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. We thank you for this time that we have in church. We thank you for another year that has come and gone, Lord. And Lord, as we look out onto this next year, Lord, as a blank slate, Lord, with all sorts of possibilities and unknowns, Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to have the right perspective, the right mindset, Lord, that we would prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, to go forward seeking and serving you, Lord, praising you for your goodness and allowing you to do that which is right in your sight, Lord. We just ask you be with the needs of each person here. We know there's people going through many different things, Lord, and Lord, I just pray that you'd help and encourage them, Lord. And I pray that if there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, that even today would be the day that they would put their faith and trust in you, Lord. What a great thing it would be to start the new year, Lord, with a new relationship with you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I don't know if everyone caught what was going on as I was reading that, but the remnant of Israel, a small group out of the whole of them, returned back to the city. So they would have been few in number, and they were coming back to a place that was destroyed and was full of rubble. It would not necessarily have been an exciting place to return to. But they were excited because they were God's people returning to the land that God had given them. They were escaping captivity. They were regaining their sovereignty as a nation. A lot of great things was going on. And so whenever they began building the temple with the blessing of their former captor, they laid the foundation, and then they began a celebration. This was somewhat like whenever you'd have a groundbreaking celebration, whenever they're erecting some sort of maybe a government building or something like that, they would have a big ceremony whenever they break ground and start building, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they had broke ground, they had begun laying the foundation, and after the foundation was laid, they could kind of see the outline of the temple. They could kind of see the space that it was going to be. And so construction was underway. They were making progress. They were going forward, and they decided to celebrate. So the priests put on all their official garments, the musicians got their instruments, and the singers got ready, and they began to sing praise to God because of all the great things that he had done. He had kept his promises, he had showed his power, and he had proven that he wasn't done with them yet. If you would have just went back a few years, it looked like they were going to vanish into obscurity, right? But here they came back again, and we find that Israel has a tendency to do that, not because of who they are, but because of who their God is. There's been plenty of times that they should have disappeared and haven't, right? Okay? Even today, they still exist, and it's a miracle that they exist today. We won't get political with everything that's going on, but the fact that they were gone for almost 2,000 years and regained their identity as a nation is nothing short of a miracle. Right. There's no other nation that that's ever happened to. Mm-hmm. And it's only by the grace of God that that's happened, that he has a plan and a purpose for them. But anyway, even though they were having this celebration, even though that they were singing and glorifying God, and they almost had like a parade going on here, not everybody was happy about it. There was one group among all of them that had seen the temple in its previous glory, the ones who remembered the good old days, all right? Which they also kind of forgot that back in the good old days, the people had rebelled against God, turned against God, welcoming in idolatry and all kinds of wickedness, and that's why they were carried away captive. But anyway, as everyone else celebrated, they were weeping and they were mourning. Both groups observed the same exact things. Right? They were seeing the same things happen, but they were interpreting it differently. They were seeing the same things happen, but their responses couldn't be any more different. Yeah. The second group was in danger of missing out on what was happening because of being hung up on what used to be. And so we have a choice as we look toward this new year of how we're going to approach what our perspective is going to be. And I want to challenge us not to miss out on what is because of what was. Okay? And I don't want to make that mistake that they made. I think it's fine to look back and reminisce.
Yeah.
You ever do that? Mm-hmm. Sit and think about things. Mm-hmm. I know whenever Christmas is going by and we've got a couple days off to just kind of sit down and just spend time together and whatnot, sometimes we think about previous Christmases, previous years, different things that's happened. And it's good to reminisce, right? But it's bad whenever we get stuck in the past.
Right.
It's bad whenever we can't get over things that are behind us. And that's what these guys were doing. And so we can't spend so much time in the past that it's going to hinder our present or hinder our future. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched kids race? It's fun to watch kids race. They're running. They think they're the fastest, and they're not. But anyway, and so they're running, and one of them gets ahead. And what inevitably happens every time one gets ahead? They look back to see where everyone else was at. They want to see how far ahead they actually are. And what happens whenever they look back? All right? They fall down. I've seen it happen plenty of times. Either that or they hit a tree. But anyway, seen that happen before too. And so they get ahead. They're running. They're just doing real well. And as soon as they turn back and they're not paying attention to where they're going, they're not putting effort into keeping their pace. Instead, they're worried about everything that's behind them. It hinders them in their progress. And so as we go into this new year, we can cry about the past, or we can celebrate the opportunities that God has given us moving forward. So what should our perspective be? That's what we're going to look at. First of all, I want to say that whenever we look back, we need to look back for instruction. We need to look back for instruction. The things that are behind us are things that we can learn from. Yeah. The old saying is that if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. Mm-hmm. You've all heard that?
Yeah.
If you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it. But it also takes an honest look at the past, because nostalgia is very real. I already mentioned the good old days, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't realize this, the good old days weren't really that good. They were just days. But time is what makes us forget a lot of the things that happened back then, that we start thinking that they were so great. By the way, the days that you're living now will one day be the good old days.
Yeah.
It's funny how that works, right? And so a little bit of time passing kind of skews our perspective in the way that we look at things. We have a tendency to forget the bad, and we exaggerate the good whenever we look back.
Yeah.
This is how those days become the good old days. We forget the problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can look back and think about, you know, whenever the girls were young and, oh, just if I could get back to those days whenever they were young, and things were simpler back then, and back whenever they were young, then we had different problems,
right?
Yeah. But you tend to forget that. It's actually a good thing that you tend to forget these things, or there would be no families that had more than one child.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Because you soon forget the struggles of changing the nappies and all the midnight feedings and all the different things. And then all of a sudden the woman starts thinking, hey, I'd like to have another one. I kind of miss cuddling. Anyway, in Ezra's day, they'd forgotten all the sin and the wickedness that had caused them to be led into captivity. They'd forgot all the problems that caused that. They had forgotten how, as a nation, they had turned away from God and they got into idolatry and they started, and they were remembering back whenever the temple was gleaming and pristine and whenever Solomon reigned on his throne. They, none of them were that old. But anyway, they were remembering whenever they were big, whenever they were a power, whenever they were respected, and now they were not. And so there was comparison, and as we know, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
You've probably heard that before. And so whenever they were looking back and remembering with nostalgia, it caused them to miss out on the things that God was doing at that time. They overlooked the miracles that he was performing right in front of them and bringing them out of captivity and raising up a generation that was excited about serving God.
Mm-hmm.
There was good things that were happening, but they were mourning for the things that used to be. And can you see where this perspective is going to lead us astray? And so whenever we look at the things of the past being there for our learning, for our instruction, we've got to be careful that we don't ignore the bad, but we've also got to be careful that we don't obsess over it.
Yeah.
There's a middle ground that takes place here. If we ignore the bad that happened and see all things as sunshine and rainbows back in the past, we long for it and we miss what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we get hung up on the past, if we obsess over the bad things that happened, it almost ends up being an anchor holding us back.
Yes.
If we remember all of the bad things that happened and we continue to meditate on those and marinate in those, it's going to cast a shadow over everything that's happening now. And you see how we have the tendency to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And neither of those are helpful. But we need to look back at the past as a teacher, as an instructor. They were repeating the sins of their fathers by not being satisfied with what God had done and by desiring something else. And we don't tend to think of that whenever we look at this passage, whenever they're mourning and they're saying, oh, it's not as glorious as what it was before. Oh, if we could just return back to those days. They weren't satisfied. They didn't like what God was doing. They didn't like the way that plans were unfolding. They didn't like their lot. Never satisfied, right? Back in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6, I won't turn there for sake of time, but God had delivered Israel from Egypt. And we know they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, right? And part of the reason they wandered for 40 years was because they didn't trust God and they didn't like the way he was doing things. But in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6, they were complaining because of the manna that God had provided. And they said, we remember the fish that we ate freely and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and garlic. Okay? And if we look at that, they're like, I miss the food that we ate in Egypt when we were slaves, when we were beaten, when we were abused, when we had no freedom, whenever we were constantly, daily punished and in pain. But we ate good. That's messed up, isn't it? And so they were complaining about what God had given them. He had given them freedom. He had given them daily provision. And they said, hey, it was better back then. We can also see all the foolishness of that, but we tend to miss the foolishness whenever it happens to us. Whenever we fail to take account for what God's doing today and we long for what used to be.
Right.
The past is there as our teacher. We take the good and we repeat it, and we take the bad and stay away from it. That's a simple enough recipe, isn't it? It's tools that we should use rather than rooms that we stay in.
Mm-hmm.
Tools that we use rather than rooms that we stay in. We can't ignore the bad. We can't obsess over it either. And if we do, we're never going to learn from it.
Right.
David's a good example of getting stuck in the past instead of learning from it. After his sin with Bathsheba, he became kind of stuck on what he had done. He became paralyzed when it came to taking action on the sin that was in his family's lives. Because if we see whenever Amnon was lusting after his sister, and that seems weird to even say. But we find that David also lusted after a woman that he shouldn't. How can he confront Amnon for that? And whenever he took her and lay with her, well, he had done the same with Bathsheba. And so he never actually deals with Amnon. He never deals with Amnon's sin, which leads Absalom to taking it into his own hands and killing his brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's a mess, isn't it? And then he runs away. And all the time, David is just paralyzed. He is unable to do anything because he says, I did the same thing. Who am I to say anything whenever I have the same faults? And as parents, we know that we desire for our children to do better than us.
Right.
That our failures, our mistakes are not an excuse for them to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But David was stuck in the past. He was looking back at his failures. He was looking back at the problems of his past and unable to take those, use those, apply them, and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the end of David's life was pretty miserable. It was pretty dark. And we find that the breaking point in all that was David got stuck on that bad event. He didn't learn from it. He took up residence in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to be careful whenever we look back in our past, learn from our mistakes, don't build a house and stick in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so whenever you look back, you'll have days that you'd like to relive and days that you would like to redo and some days that you would like to avoid altogether. And you can't do anything about any of them.
Right.
You can't go back and do it again, but you can learn from it. You can apply it to now and make the days going forward better. And so what do the days that you've already lived have to teach you about the days you are living now? Now, the second thing about looking back, we look back for information or for instruction, but we also look back for inspiration. Okay? I said that we don't ignore or obsess over the bad, but you don't ignore or obsess over the good either. Okay? We look for it for inspiration. In short, if it was good back then, it can be good once again, right? God was rebuilding a nation. Whenever the men in Ezra's day looked back, they didn't look back to Abraham and Joseph, to the wilderness, or to the battles in the for the promised land. They looked to the end after all the work was already finished. Right? They look to the victory and not the battles that it took to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were looking at the trophies without thinking about the labor that it takes to win them. It's easy for us to be looking at other people and really envying other people because of where they're at without acknowledging what it took for them to get there.
Yeah.
We see the people on TV, we see the winners, we see the athletes, we see, and like, oh man, if I could be like them, but we don't see the hours and hours and hours they put into training, right?
Right.
And the reason I bring that out is if we look at the men of Ezra's day, they were looking back to Solomon's temple in its glory.
Mm-hmm.
They were looking to whenever Israel was a great nation, but they weren't paying attention to how they got there.
Right.
They weren't paying attention to the process. And see, if they would put themselves on a timeline and lay it over the previous one, they were still back at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't looking at how this is going to bring them to a great place. They're just regretting that they didn't get to be in the great place.
Yeah.
I hope you're following me as I'm going through all of this. I know maybe you're still hungover from Christmas turkey. I don't know. But at this time, God was moving them toward a bigger victory, and it never occurred to them that God was doing this. Mm-hmm. The temple that they were working on was going to be the one that Christ would one day enter into. Did you ever pay attention to that? They're looking at it and they're saying, oh, this just isn't as glorious as the one that was before. This isn't as beautiful. It's not as brilliant. It's not as big. But it was the one that they were building that Jesus would enter into. The one that he's going to come and, you know, overthrow the money changers. He was going to sit down and teach in this temple that they were crying about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happens to us a lot of times, is that we are not accounting for the great things that he did back then as an indicator of the great things that he is doing now.
Right.
We look back to the highlight reel.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the, you know, the Instagram version, right? Rather than seeing everything that actually is genuine and real that made it up. And so we can look back to the victories that's been won as inspiration, knowing that the battle is worth it, that the work pays off, that God does things in his own time, in his own way, and oftentimes in unexpected ways.
Right.
And so that inspires us to keep going. And so whenever we look back, it should be for encouragement. It should inspire us to move forward. I've often mentioned in the Old Testament the practice of building memorials. There's one that was built called Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Whenever there was a great victory that was won, they erected a monument so that everyone who passed that monument, every future generation could look to that and remember the time that God did something big.
Mm-hmm.
And that was meant to be something that would encourage them to continue trusting God, continue following God, and realize that as God helped them then, he can help us today. Yeah. That was the point of the memorial. All the accounts in Scripture are written to show us that God did it for them. He can do it for us. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. We look back to all of these stories and they instruct us, they encourage us, because God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So I've got different times I can go back to my life, different memorials, Ebenezers, if you will, that whenever things get difficult, I'll say, he brought me through that. He'll bring me through this.
Yes.
He did it back then. He'll do it now.
Yes.
And it's a source of encouragement. It's not me longing for, oh, if I could go back to that day. It was, God did it then. He'll do it now.
Right.
You see the difference in perspective?
Yes.
And so it's not for me to long for that day of victory. It's for me to take that victory and look forward to another one. So we have the tendency to look back at the good times and to long for it, to want to go back to it. As I already said, parents remember when the kids were little or that they were still at home. Spouses remember maybe times whenever there was more romance, more of a spark. They felt closer, not realizing that life evolves, relationships change, and it doesn't mean that it gets worse. It gets different.
Right.
And we have to appreciate the differences.
Yeah.
We can't get hung up on the past. Sometimes even as a church, we get hung up on the past. We remember past events, past things that happened. Even people, as they come and go, and we can get stuck on these things and not realize that God's still doing something here and now that can be even greater than it was then. But if you use your energy longing for what was rather than working on what is, all you're going to have is memories. And so, as I said, God is the same yesterday and today and forever. Don't be satisfied today with yesterday's blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Third thing that we have here, we've already looked back, but now we look around in appreciation. We look around in appreciation. We count our blessings. The young men of Ezra's day looked around and they saw God at work. I just try to imagine this in my mind. I try to picture it. I don't know what you guys do whenever you read the Bible. But I picture things, and I try to picture them around this construction site. And one group is happy, they're rejoicing, and they're seeing all these people working. They're seeing their nation take shape once again. They're seeing the temple being built back up, and they are excited. They are joyful. And the other ones aren't seeing any of it because their minds are so much somewhere else. And they're failing to actually take in and process and appreciate what is going on before them, because they're so stuck in the past. There's an old saying that says, whatever you're looking for, you'll probably find it. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I think the opposite is also true, that if you don't look for it, you won't find it. Okay? And so if we don't adjust our perspective and start looking for that which is good, that which is right, that which is a blessing to us, we're going to miss all of those things because we're looking at the wrong things. If you're looking at what you don't have, you'll never appreciate what you do have.
Right.
And if you don't appreciate what you do have, there's a good chance you'll lose it.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to our first service. Anyway, if you spend your days recounting your mistakes, all the times that you've been done wrong or all the things that haven't gone your way, you're going to be a miserable person.
Mm-hmm.
We probably all know people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon's temple was bigger. It was more extravagant. They were a bigger nation, more wealthy. But that's in the past. It were, right? It's not anymore.
Right.
And so we can get hung up on all of these things, but we can't repeat them. We can't go back to them. There is no such thing as time travel, right? But we do have today. And so if we look around, we appreciate what we do have today. We look at the stage of life that we're in. We look at our children, where they're at now, right? And appreciate it. We look at our partner, the one that we're married to now, and we appreciate the season that we're in. And we work on what we have now to build better rather than whine about what used to be or what's not anymore. There's a choice that we have as we're moving forward into a new year. How are we going to approach it? How are we going to look at the life that we have been given, the hand that we've been dealt? Are we going to appreciate what we have or keep looking back to what we've lost or to the bad things that have happened and allow them to hold us back? And so we have a choice that we can make. You might be able to look around and see how far God has brought you. You might not be as far as you'd like, but I can tell you, you're not where you used to be. The old saying is, I'm not where I used to be, and I'm going to butcher it all up. Not what I was. You know what I mean. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be either. I'm making progress. And this is something I've said oftentimes, that God doesn't require perfection of us. He requires progress. He wants to see us moving forward. And so sometimes it's two steps forward and one step back. Sometimes there's times it seems like we're not getting anywhere. But then we look back a few years later and we realize how far we've come. And that's where we need to be at. We need to be appreciating where we're at, what God's doing now, what we have in front of us. Because if we're so busy looking back, if we're regretting, if we're reminiscing all these different things, it distracts from what God is doing today. It distracts from the possibilities. And so whenever you see God at work, be glad and celebrate what he's doing. So we look back for instruction and for inspiration to keep us moving forward, not getting stuck in the past. We look around to appreciate all the blessings we've been given. And lastly, we look forward in anticipation. One of the reasons the foundation was such a big deal that they were celebrating over was because it pointed to a finished temple. They were anticipating whatever progress was going forward, that temple was going to be completed. They were looking for the day that their work paid off, right? And so it was also indicating that God kept his promises. We can continue in the story because it's all history now, right? And we can see that it wasn't smooth sailing for them. They laid the foundation. The enemies around them tried to throw them off. They brought opposition against them. And then whenever there was a new emperor that took charge over the nation that had held them in captivity, they lied to that new emperor, and he caused the work of the temple to cease. And so it stopped for a while. And then after a while, God brought up another ruler, and they were decreed to go back and build the temple, and they finally finished it. You go to the book of Nehemiah, they build the walls. You go a little bit later and the city is built, constructed, functioning, and it continues on. And then we find the New Testament, right? We find that the people of Israel are in the land. They are settled. Yes, they are still occupied by Rome, but they have their national identity once again. And then Jesus is born there and he walks amongst them. He gives his life for mankind, and we are still looking back to what God did in that city, right? But those things were all in front of them at that time.
Right.
They were all ahead of them at that time. They had no way of seeing all the things that we can look back to now, and you have no way of seeing all the things that lay ahead of you that one day you'll look back at.
Right.
See, the best can still be ahead of you. The best years might still lie ahead. You have no idea what God's going to do. And so we look ahead in faith. We can look at different ones in Scripture that were walking by faith, trusting God with their future. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's what's known as the Hall of Faith. It's probably most of you guys are familiar with it. It's filled with people who look forward to the future knowing that God was already there. I think that's a good way to put it. Rather than being filled with anxiety, they rested and the God that brought them out, that ordered their steps, and that went before them. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and went seeking a city that he had never seen.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine that with Abraham? God comes to him and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation that's going to be a blessing to all the earth. And at that time, he had no children. He was living in a huge city. He was fairly wealthy. And God says, pick up and move. And he says, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do it. And he leaves, takes off to Canaan.
Yeah.
We can go back a little bit further to Noah. God comes to him and says, this world's a pretty messed up place. I'm getting ready to judge it. But you found favor in my sight. You found grace in my eyes. And I'm going to have you to build a boat. Do you know how absurd that would have been to Noah? He wasn't building a boat in the sea. He's building a huge boat on land. He wasn't even a boat builder. As a matter of fact, I don't believe he'd ever even seen rain. We find that before the flood that there was a mist that came up from the earth and watered the face of the earth. And God says, water is going to fall from the sky. It's going to drown everybody, and you're going to be in a boat and escape it. And for years as he's building a boat, everybody's mocking and ridiculing him, and he is walking forward in faith, just trusting God, regardless of what's going on around him. And I think those two men are a great example for us that we're not always going to understand what's going on. We're not going to see where God is leading us to. He never lays out the entire journey ahead of time for our approval. Instead, he says, just trust me. Just keep walking forward. Let me order your steps. Let me guide you as you go, and you'll be happy with the destination.
Mm-hmm.
As we look into a new year, there's not much that we know about what lies ahead. I hate to bring it up, but if we go back about 5 years, we were facing a new year and had no clue what was ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say the word. We had no clue. We're looking at another year, and I'm not trying to jinx it and try to bring another pandemic on us or whatever, but we don't know what lies ahead.
Right.
It can be great things. It can be terrible things. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But even though we have very little control, very little knowledge, we serve a God who has absolute control,
yes.
Who has all knowledge.
Yes.
And we can put our lives into his hands. We can trust him for the path ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're looking behind, we are looking behind to instruct us, to learn, to grow, and make better decisions as we're going forward. Not to repeat the past, not to hold on to the past, but to make a better future. As we are walking through this life here now, we're looking around for the good things that God is doing. We're not going to focus on the bad and on the negative. We're not going to be looking at the regrets and all the things that we wish we would have done or the things that we wish wouldn't have happened. But instead, we're looking and saying, what is God doing in my life now? How can I follow him? How can I serve him better? How can I minister to the people that he has put in my life here? And then as we look to the future, we say, there's very little that I can do, but I can trust him.
Right.
I can follow him. I can allow him to guide and direct my steps. I can trust him with my children. I can trust him with my marriage. I can trust him with my own life. I can trust him with my family, with my church family. I can trust him and just continue following him. And so that's my challenge for us today. We don't want to get stuck in what used to be or what could have been and miss out on what's going on now.
Right.
As we sit on the cusp of a new year, we can trust God, learn from the past, be encouraged by the things that he's already done, count our blessings, and trust him as he guides us into this year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be petrified by anxiety and anticipation trying to figure out what's next, whenever we know that he is our future.
Yeah.
And so that is our challenge for today. Don't get hung up on the past. Don't miss out on the present. Trust God with the future. He's already there. He's got it completely under control. And I will say, wherever you're at in all of this, I don't know how the message is going to apply to you. I don't know what's going on through your mind. I don't know the things that you've been going through. But I'll tell you, God has great things. We are not always going to see it. We're not always going to understand it. But if we know God, we can trust him.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't look like he's there, even if we don't understand the journey that we're going on, we can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know him, if you are not 100% sure that you are saved, you have no guarantees. He takes care of his children.
Yes.
And you can be one of his children today.
Yes.
If you'll put your faith and trust in him.
Yes.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your many blessings on us, Lord. I thank you for this passage and the way, Lord, that it's worked in my heart. I know, Lord, that looking at the the year ahead of us can be maybe a daunting thing, Lord, but I know by experience, Lord, that you are faithful, we can trust you, that you're taking care of us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we can be reminded of that time and again, Lord, just continue looking at your goodness, Lord, and trusting you, Lord, with the steps ahead, Lord. And if there's one here today that don't know you as their Savior, I pray that they would enter into this new year, Lord, saved and knowing where they're going to spend eternity, Lord. Do the needed work in hearts and lives and go with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, love you, Lord. Amen. Yeah.